Hello, this is Kim, and I am one of your co-hosts with the Whole Woman Podcast. And today I am super excited because we are going to talk about Rachel's book, The Donut Diaries. I just finished it last night. I read it once, but I read it on Kindle, and Kindle's not the same for me. I have to have a book where I can like dog-ear the pages and write, do blue and write in the corners and do blue. Highlight, you know what I mean? Anyway, I just finished. And so today we're going to talk to Rachel all about her book. And I'd like to start by asking, why a book? You're a personal trainer. Why'd you write a book?
That is a great question. I felt like you, that there was a book in me for a long time. And I remember starting it and stopping it, I mean, at least a dozen times over the past decade. But I wanted to write about all my wins, right? Look at Rachel. She kept the weight off. She blah, blah, blah. And look at her happy, perfect life now. And, once I finally sat down during COVID to write the Donut Diaries, and my authentic story started coming out, and I realized, oh, that's why this really never came to fruition before, because I didn't write my whole story. You can't have a book about all your wins without including your losses. And so that's really why I think when I sat down in 2020 and I had written my book in 3 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you're one of those people who use 2020 to your advantage.
I
So,
did.
yeah, good for you. All right. Well, here we go. I've got a list of questions.
Dive in, baby.
All right. I'm going to start with a big one. In quotes, I'm not perfect. I never will be perfect, but I'm happy. So, what does happy mean to you?
Happy means my peace. The fact that I get to wake up every day just grateful for where I live, for my relationships, for my health, for my life, for everything that I've created. And when I spent all those years stuck in my shame and stuck in my anger about my body, I had no room to appreciate any of these other things. So now I feel like it's even more intense and more. It just that light surrounds me so much more. And I think learning how to appreciate your life and learning how to appreciate the gift that is my body is amazing, phenomenal. And, I've dealt with all my feelings about it, like, oh, I should have been doing this sooner. But I do believe in timing. So I understand that too. Like, I had so many lessons to learn before I could get here. So I don't beat myself up about that. But yeah, that's what happiness looks like for me now.
That's so awesome. Well, I'm curious if you could tell listeners about your light bulb moment. I think we all have them, but you mentioned you had that one moment where you were interacting with the client where everything snapped or clicked or whatever. Yeah, share that with them.
Absolutely. I was training the majority of my clientele in New York City was women, and the common goal was I want to look my best for my vacation, for my wedding, for my daughter's this, for my whatever, whatever. What should I be eating? And of course, I had no issues with, well, you should probably eat kale for the next 3 months and enjoy that. And never ever look at anything that has any flavor or taste. Mwah, have fun with that. So I was talking to a client about, her meal plan for the next few weeks while she was getting ready for her bikini bod. And she's like, well, should I have a banana after working out with you? And I said, what? No, a banana has so much sugar in it. Why would you? And like, literally, stopped mid-sentence because my brain and my mouth finally connected. And I was like, what the f am I saying? What am I telling her? I was like, yeah, let's not eat something from nature. Let's go get a packaged food of 50 calorie, whatever, whatever, that has chemicals and who knows what's in it. But because the calories and there's no sugar, like that's healthy. I don't know why, after years and years of giving that advice, it just kind of like clicked for me. And I was like, I have been telling people, because I've told myself the same thing too. And I don't know how many times I've heard it, But it just clicked. Like, why are we surviving on processed foods? Why? So I
They're
said,
calories. And they taste so much better than real food too, right?
I love the taste of cardboard, don't you?
Yeah.
So I remember telling her, I was like, forget everything I just said. Yeah, go eat a banana. Enjoy every bite of it. Bye. See you tomorrow. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I had a similar conversation with another nutritionist about broccoli. They're like, well, the guide says 3 ounces of broccoli, and this person wanted more. I'm like, we're talking broccoli. Like, what, a whole head of broccoli might have
5 calories.
calories? I mean, like, I don't know. I don't know because I don't care for me if it grows from the ground or in a tree, I really don't pay much attention. Okay, so skipping from food for a few minutes, and I'm going in order of the book. So if anyone's following along, in this section titled Exercise is Always the Answer, you talk about how it's important to work all of your muscles efficiently, and you talk about quality wins over quantity every time. Break this down for us.
I think learning that for me, again, I am a huge strength training person. Once I found it back, 25 years ago, I really have never abandoned it completely because I like to feel strong. I like to carry my groceries from, at the time living in New York, from the bottom of Columbus Circle all the way to my apartment on 51st and 10th, like 2 bags of groceries. And I'll never forget the one time the little kid's like, "Do you need help upstairs, ma'am?" And I was like, "No." And I like hoisted my bags up. He's like, "Yeah." So I love feeling capable, like I can take care of myself. And so, there's lots of menus and remedies and all kinds of ideas for how to work out, right? You have to work this muscle on Monday and you have to work. No, I don't have that kind of like mentality. I want to go, I want to work out, I want to feel good, I want to feel like I did what I was meant to do, and then I'm out of there. I don't want to think about it again. That's just how I am. So I have tried and tested a couple of different workouts. I personally enjoy doing upper body, lower body days. That makes me feel good. But I just feel like when I talk to people about it, especially women who are my age and older, it's like we're doing this for functionality. We're doing this for balance. We're doing this so you don't lose muscle anymore. If you want to look good in a bikini, I'm sure that's lovely and a good after effect, but we're here to make sure that you can stay on your own 2 feet. I'm sure that was a totally long answer, but I hope I answered it.
You did. I think about like when my boys were younger and these kids were just getting in the gym, right? And or you'd go to the gym and you'd see these guys and they're doing curls and they have these like monster sized biceps, but then they have like bird legs because they just were focused on like what they considered to be their problem. And it sounds like, in what I read in your book, is that you really believe you need to like start at your head and work to your toes, distribute it, right? And I was curious as I was reading, though, you lift now. Do you ever have cardio days, or do you like for me, I walk, right? I don't go to a HIIT class anymore, or I don't go to Zumba or whatever it is. I just walk, and that's kind of where I try to like keep my cardiovascular training going. Do you just lift, or what do you do for cardio?
Yeah, I n did not have to think about it for 16 years because I was always walking somewhere in New York and down and up those stairs to the subway. So I literally never thought about cardio. So since moving to the burbs and realizing that walking up a flight of stairs and I was like clutching my chest, I was like, oh, I have to do this on purpose now. Got it. So I've had to incorporate cardio into my workouts again. And what I like to do is do cardio either before or after my strength training. I don't, but if, there's a day where I'm listening to my body and I just don't have it in me to do my strength training, but I would like to move, then I'll go do, a prolonged session of cardio. But yeah, I like to throw it in with my weight training.
Gotcha. Okay. I my husband likes to do his cardio before he lifts weights. He just feels like it warms his body up. I think everybody's different. It's just I was just curious what you do. So, talk about your theory that you can be healthy at any weight. And most specifically, what criteria classifies healthy to you?
Okay. I will be honest with you, since writing my book, my thinking and my knowledge base has evolved. At that time when I wrote that, I realized that there are lots of unhealthy people at every weight, right? So, what does that mean? What it means is learning how to be comfortable in your own skin at whatever weight you are, but taking care of that body. We don't all have to be 120 pounds, whatever the measurements were back in Hollywood, 32. I don't even remember. There was a menu of sizes for each body part. And we don't all have to look like that. But what I really believed at that time was if you're not a certain body type, you are just a looked at upon in society that you are not a healthy person. And I've learned that that is just not true. It's just not. You can be 120 pounds, you can be 220 pounds, and you can be healthy, or vice versa, right? So I think that that statement, although I would love people to be comfortable in their own skin, there are things that we need to do to make sure that we are healthy for the long term.
Okay. And that's a good segue into my next question. You mentioned three things that you need, like your three focus areas. And I think it encompasses everything. They're my three things too. And as I was reading, I'm like, oh my gosh, we wrote our books. We didn't know each other even, and there's so many similarities in the way we think, having worked in the industry. So share with us what it takes for you to be healthy.
Absolutely. I have to nourish my body. I have to nourish my body. And that looks different from week to week. As I age, it's looking different. I have to move my body. And I can say the same thing. That looks different now as I'm in my 50s than it was in my 20s, but moving my body. But the one thing that I have learned in the past decade was resting your body. Like, I did not realize how important it and how it helps the other two really further your progress along and really helps me feel good. My energy level, my attitude, the way I deal with things out in the world, how I deal with people. Resting, if I could flip-flop them, I would say resting is number one. I did not realize how much I was giving of myself and never replenishing. So, yeah, super important for rest.
And so many people, I feel like, especially when I ran the gym, there are people, the only time they have to work out was at 5 o'clock in the morning. And like the highest level of respect for someone who can roll out of bed at 4 o'clock so they can make it to the gym before they take care of the kids and go to work and everything, right? But those same people were trying to still live a very social life or maybe forced into a late night because of work or whatever. And it's like you can only survive on 4 or 5 hours of sleep for so long. Your body needs rest.
Yeah, for sure.
So it seems to me that you prepared to turn 40. Like you thought through it, and so I was curious, like, did someone tell you it was terrible, or did you just have this feeling that 40 was gonna flip a switch and you had to be prepared for the changes? Or tell me how and why you prepared to turn 40 and how that made a difference for you.
I think that's interesting. I've never been asked that question before. I think it's because when I was getting to 30, like 39 was approaching, 38 had been an interesting year because I finally learned how to cook. And not when I say cook, for me, cooking was microwaving back in the day. So, like, actually make a meal from scratch. And I was learning all these adulting things like later in life. And so when I was approaching 40 and I had this huge weight loss, a huge weight loss, I started looking, inside and thinking, what do I want for myself? What do I want? Do I want to keep feeling like I'm fighting with myself and I'm chasing this and chasing that guy and chasing whatever? No, I want to know what it feels like to be peaceful and quiet and appreciate things. And I remember I was like, I think I need to learn how to be by myself. And I started literally taking myself out on dates in New York City. I would go to the museum by myself, go to a movie by myself, just go to the park by myself. And at first, it was really scary, not because I was alone, but because I didn't know how to enjoy my own company. I didn't know how to do something in silence. And I definitely did not know how to navigate things, like figure, because, when you have to go to a comedy show, you have to buy your tickets, you have to go to the venue, you have to find your seat, and then you have to walk home by yourself. Like, those were big deals for me. I know maybe some people are listening going, what? But it's true. When you just don't know how to be in your own company, those things can be very overwhelming. So for me to learn those step-by-step processes, I think that was probably the whole reason why I found myself living in New York City. I don't think I could have done it anywhere else. Learn how to be on my own.
Well, I just think it was such a wise, probably, and you probably had no idea, but so
Right.
many people, as they're approaching 40, like they get this midlife itch, or and they go crazy, or they do something, or they go skydiving, or I don't know. Some people don't make healthy choices as they're approaching middle age because they're trying to prove they're still young, and it just feels like you settled into what a good life could be. You know, I mean, like a slowed down, it's okay to age sort of mentality. And it was good to read. You know, I can't tell you I hit it at 40. I certainly hit it before I turned 50, that same quest. So you tell us that your goal when you wrote Donut Diaries was to have a full 24 hours when you didn't experience one negative thought about your body. Have you experienced that yet?
Oh,
Yeah. What's it like?
it's freedom, mama. It's freedom. When you are so held down with the beliefs that you have about how awful your body is, it's exhausting. And it's sad. It's really sad to just. And I know you know this, like when you see a photo of yourself and the first thing you want to do is burn it because you think you look fat. Or you walk past a mirror and you thought you looked cute when you left the house and you're like, what's that? I mean, all those thoughts I would have on a daily basis to be able to not have those
Right.
is friggin' freedom. Now, in all honesty and all transparency, because my body is changing again, I'm going through menopause. I have those moments. I do have those moments where I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what's happening? Why do I have football size boobs in my shirt? I don't understand. But I think with all that, since turning 40 and having this whole trajectory of these lessons, I can self-soothe myself so much faster and be like, you know what, girl, you are in the body that you are meant to be in right in this moment. Love it. Love it. That's all you can do. Give it a little pat, get a bigger bra, whatever you gotta do. I just love it because I'm never, never going back there to that hate and that shame and that, like, I don't even deserve to be in a room with other people because I'm a fat cow. Like, no, never, never will I go back there. Do I have my moments where I'm like, I don't love the way I look or feel right now? Of course, of course. I'm not 100% sure those will ever go away, but I know how to take care of myself now.
Yeah, that's so awesome. And it has to feel amazing. And I have those days too. I mean, my question was not like, oh, I've never experienced that, because I have. I slipped back, and you're right, menopause played a number on me, because I'm like, oh, I don't want people to see me have a hot flash. How embarrassing. Well, okay, 50% of the people on the planet are going to have a hot flash if they're lucky enough to live there.
Yeah.
I
And they're like,
love
my
that.
little fan is on me right now, baby.
Yep. I was at a conference with someone, a friend last week, and she carries this little mini one in with her. Everywhere she goes, she has this little fan that she sits down. I'm like, that's brilliant. Why didn't I know about this? Now I'm on the backside. So knock on wood, and
Lucky you.
please, I don't need any more hot flashes. But gosh, it's like you have no control. But we can't apologize for things that we can't control. So,
No.
yeah.
I am grateful that in this time and age, like, women are much more vocal about it and comfortable talking about it. And so I'm just like, yeah, hot flash. They're like, oh, girl, I got you. So it's like that. Thank God I'm kind of having it during that time. So, yeah.
So in your book, you at the top of every chapter, you include quotes from other people, that famous people. And at the beginning of chapter four, you share a quote that's attributed to Eleanor Roosevelt. And she says, what other people think of me is none of my business. And first off, I love this, right? But we live in a very social world. And dear Eleanor did not have to deal with Instagram and TikTok and Facebook and warped perceptions of what perfect is supposed to be, right? Because we lived in our little space in the world. Even when you and I grew up, it wasn't this bad. So could you share just some tips, three or four tips for people who have not yet learned how to turn off that need for approval?
Absolutely. I will, the first and foremost, that every person who still takes things personally should go out and buy themselves a copy of The Four Agreements. It is a book, one of the three books that changed my life. And to learn to not take anything personally has also just assisted in this. Like, I use, my mentality and my life, use the word freedom to describe it. And I don't know if I could have gotten there without this book. So honestly, I'm not joking. Please go get yourself a copy of this book. That first chapter, learning how to not take things personally, is a game changer. And I also think that you're choosing, meaning all of us, we choose to get on those social media sites. So for us to feel less than or overwhelmed, make that choice that that's not something that you're going to do. Yes, it's everywhere, but again, so is even when you and I were growing up. Let's use a perfect example, okay? I'm sure that everyone you knew was smoking weed, right? In the 80s and 90s. It was a choice for me not to do that or to do that, whatever was going on. It's a choice that we make to allow things in our life. So if you go into it with that mentality, then it might not feel so overwhelming. That's another thing. And the third thing I would say is you can't be everything to everyone, and you can't be everywhere at every moment. So pick the things that bring you joy and bring value to your life. And if you feel one moment of I really don't want to do that. That is your soul talking to you, right? That is literally your soul talking to you. So listen, because if you keep forcing yourselves into situations, you're just going to exhaust yourself emotionally, mentally, spiritually. And that was something I had to learn too. I had to learn how to tell my friends no.
I struggle with that.
A lot of people do.
Yeah, it's because you want to try to be all things to all people, and you want to try and please everyone you interact with, right? And as an employee or someone who's working for clients now, right? You want to do your best. You want them to like be so happy with your work that they recommend you to others. And I mean, like, I just feel like we live in such a yes society and such a, I have to do more. I have to do more. I have to do more. And that's why I used to bristle when I would see people in the health and wellness industry say, you can do anything. Like, nothing can stop you. Do more. Push harder, right? No. Sometimes, like you said, you have to listen to yourself. And if your body or your gut or a little angel on your shoulder, whatever it is saying, oh, slow down, think about this, you ought to. Yeah.
I agree with that because seriously, that's another one of the four agreements is like always do your best, which is great advice, but there's a difference. Like, I want to do my best. I want people to do all these things, but you also don't have any control of that, right? So you do your best, and when it feels like something is hard or it's out of reach, or you just keep hitting roadblock after roadblock, listen to that. Like that's something in the universe telling you it's not your time right now.
Right.
So those people who, Mercury retrograde is coming up soon, and I love Mercury retrograde because it always throws like pauses. And so you can, I want people to like watch during Mercury retrograde, how angry they get, how short-tempered they get, how just like utter overwhelm, right? Because Mercury is a time for you to slow your roll and just kind of finish things or don't start things or rest or whatever. And I know maybe people don't believe in it, but that's too bad. I do. So, but if you just observe people during this time, you can see how like overwhelmed we really are. And if you can teach yourself how to roll that back, and to be more patient and to be kinder and to be understanding that this has nothing to do with you. I just think our world would be such a more peaceful, loving place.
Yeah, and that's something we need right now. I think a lot of people, you know, we're obviously recording this bef you know a month or so before it's going to air. But the state of the world is very tense right now. And I certainly don't want to talk politics, and I would never share with anyone what I believe about that because we all have to live on this planet, and I believe that all we should do is just care for one another and ultimately show love, right? But how we get to love is different in everyone's view. I don't know anything about anything having to do with Mercury retrograde, but I can bet your bottom dollar that I'm gonna learn. Now I'll go and look that up, and maybe we'll have to talk about it more sometime. So,
Oh, we should definitely do a sesh on that
yeah.
and do it while we're in it. So, like, people can ask their questions.
Oh, coming up soon, or maybe alive.
Oh, Look
Oh.
at us creating right here in front of you guys. Aren't you so excited?
Yeah. All right. So I've got more questions for you, and I don't want to like, oh, I don't know, miss any of them. My body knows what it needs. You say that. I've got it in quotations. How does your body talk to you, and how do you respond?
My body tells me what it needs. First of all, I have learned, and I learned the hard way, that I can never ignore my hunger because I become a raging lunatic. I don't do well when my blood sugar drops. I just don't. I cannot function. So I need to eat. I have learned about myself that I am a breakfast, lunch, dinner, sometimes, most days, a snack person, right? So if I miss any of that, don't even try to talk to me because as my honey bunny knows, he's like, you need to eat, right? Correct. But learning how to listen to those signs and knowing that I don't have to let myself get there. I know when I need to eat. I know when I need to drink. I know when I need to sleep. But that's because I really kind of sat with myself and learned what are my signals. They may di be different for other people. I just think we have kind of forgotten how to listen to ourselves. And our bodies are always telling us what they need, always. Whether it's like, you're sitting in a meeting and you're like, can't keep your eyes open, you're tired. Your stomach is growling relentlessly, you're hungry. You're a little, snappy. You're overwhelmed and you have too much going on. Those are signals from your body, which is your home that you should respect, take care of, water, nourish, do all the things, because that's what gets us through our day-to-day life. It's our bodies.
You know, and that I've believed that for a long time. But as I watch my grandsons, right? Because they're too young for someone to schedule them or to tell them they're not hungry and oh, just wait a little bit, wait a little bit. They don't have the patience yet to wait a little bit. And it's so fascinating to me. I mean, they can be having the time of their life playing and you look over and they're sound asleep. If we listen to our bodies, so many good things can happen and you can heal, I believe. You know, I somebody put us on a schedule around about kindergarten. When they told us we had to eat lunch at 10:30 because that's when our classroom fit in the lunchroom, and then, you know, then you had to take a nap on the floor, and then you had to play outside. Then you went all the way till 5 o'clock when you had dinner. I mean, just all the crazy scheduling things that society and life puts on us. So as grown human beings, when we have choices, it feels so good to take that back, doesn't it? To like listen to your body again. But it doesn't happen overnight. It's not like you can decide, oh, tomorrow I'm going to listen to my body, because your body has been trained to respond. Like, I think about the people who like do this intermittent fasting. And if you do that, I mean, like, good for you. If it works for you, good for you, because I'm never going to tell a person how they should eat. But I cannot imagine not eating for like 14, 16, 18 hours, and then like consuming all my calories in that other little window. I just can't imagine. And anyway, I kind of took a little detour there on your
Oh, it's
book tour.
fine. It's
But
fine.
yeah.
I tried intermittent fasting and it was torture.
Yeah. Have you tried them all? You've tried all the diets, right?
I
Just
mean, I feel
all
like I have.
the books.
The only thing I never tried was do you remember the cabbage diet?
Oh,
I
Ben,
mean,
the cabbage soup diet?
yeah.
Oh, for sure. We did that. Yeah.
I never I because I hate cabbage
Yeah.
probably as much as I hate kale. So I
Yeah.
never got on that bandwagon, but I feel like I've done all the other pills, potions, powders, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Cabbage soup for every meal, except you get a banana like on day four
Ew!
and a piece of steak on day six, or I don't know. It was
A
weird.
piece of steak like a
I
chunk.
don't remember. It just.
Oh.
I became a pro at making that soup. Anyway. Yep.
Bleh.
And you lose weight long enough to like, oh, I don't know. Get to a, I don't know. I lost like 10 pounds. Thought, ooh, but then you get hungry and you want to eat again, right?
That damn hunger.
Okay. So, let's see here. You talk about how your caloric needs changed with weight training. Again, I think so many people start lifting weights or start running or start doing cardio because they want to lose weight, and they've been told all along, less calories in, more calories out, right? And so in my own book, I address exercise before I address food, because I know that if you've never exercised and you start, you're going to be hungry. And so if you've already like working on a deficit in calories, which I don't track those, but if I'm hungry and then I start exercising, my world's going to implode, right?
Yes.
So tell us how you know, because you didn't, I'm guessing you didn't just start lifting weights and say, oh, I'm going to give myself 500 extra calories. There have to be signs in your body. Can you share like what you look for when you it's time to maybe eat a little more one day or whatever?
Of course. I remember I started doing a bigger workout. I was graduating because, again, this is a whole nother conversation, but there's maintenance workouts and then there's, workouts where you increase your strength or your reps or the sets just to kind of get results and push past plateaus or something like that. So I started doing 4x10s and I was lifting pretty heavy. I came home after my workout and I literally crashed. I felt like, meaning I fell asleep. I didn't pass out. But I was so tired. And then I remember getting so cold. Like my body, it was like, those flu chills. And I was starting to date my honey now. And I called him. I said, what is happening to me? He's like, you need some calories, girl. Did you not eat after your workout? And I was like, no. And so he's like, go have some chocolate milk, get some calories in you immediately. And so that's another thing I'm trying to say is that your body will tell you, especially if you overexert it like that without replenishing. Like food is our fuel. We cannot get through high intensity workouts or hikes or whatever you do without those calories. And I guarantee you, every single person who has tried to push without calories has experienced something like that. And so that's why I don't mess around anymore. I have breakfast every day and I have my post-workout. Sometimes I just have kefir, sometimes I have yogurt, or I go straight to lunch, depending on what time of day it is. But I do not mess around. I did not like that. It freaked me out. And so I don't mess around with that anymore.
So, like when you do you notice if you go hiking or something, like you've got something special planned and you're gonna skip the gym and go on a long hike for a couple days, or you guys are going on vacation or something like that, and the
Day.
workout changes. Do you notice that your hunger changes too?
Sometimes, but I'm also one of those people that I will always have a Kind bar in my purse, in my car, wherever I go, I have, a Kind bar. It makes me feel better. I know I have something to eat because it's so funny because I am such a cook now, or, I mean, he might even call me a chef, but I make everything. I make everything. I rarely eat processed food. So I'm not one of those people that are like, I need something to eat and I need it now. And I just go rummaging through like a bodega or the grocery store looking for, nothing ever sounds good. So that's why I like to have my lunch at home or eat breakfast at home because I know what I'm getting. I'm getting good calories and I'm getting good food. That wasn't really your question, was it?
No, I noticed for myself that like when I incorporate weight training, like I hadn't for a long time, and then when I started again, I just noticed I was more hungry and I was more tired. And so when I started eating more, I mean, and when I talk about eating more, it's not like I threw an extra steak on my plate, right? I mean, it was just like I allowed myself to eat until I was satisfied, right? And but I also noticed that if I get sick and I'm not gonna lift weights, or if I'm like when I go on vacation and we're doing a ton of walking and we're getting like 30,000 steps or whatever, I'm not the same person I used to be. I don't seek out a gym when I go on vacation. I enjoy the moment. I walk, I do things. So I notice that I'm not as hungry when I'm not doing the hard work. And I just really feel like I've gotten to that place where I'm in tune with my body.
I do hear what you're saying, but I'm different then, because I am very conditioned, and I know that I have to still, I don't care where I'm at, what I'm doing, I still need to eat my regular times.
Oh, I
And
my regular times, just not my regular portions.
okay, I hear what you're saying. No,
That's
food is
cool
my friend.
though. It's cool though because it's just proof again, or not proof. We don't need to prove anything to anyone, but I mean it's an example of how two people doing similar things with similar habits and rituals and knowledge can be living different lives and successfully. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I think that's the, I mean, and I'm sure you're agreeing with me. If that is the one thing that we could teach everyone, is that we are all different. Our eating schedules are all different. And how many calories we need on a daily basis is all different. I think the one diet myth that is ingrained in every single human's brain is 2,000 calories a day. And if you want to lose weight, you have to eat even less. I need people to understand that 2,000 calories ain't shit. 2,000 calories is probably what a baby needs to just survive.
Right, but how many women have come to you and said, "Oh, I'm eating 1200 calories because that's what I was told I would had to eat to, that's like breakfast, right?" It's
So, if that
crazy.
is one thing that we could dispel, is that the number doesn't matter. And I know people will argue with me up and down about that. And you go ahead, come for me. I don't care, because the amount of calories does not matter. It's how are you getting those calories? What are you eating to make you the best version of yourself? If you want to live on 1,200 calories of packaged crap, go right ahead. But are you going to be healthy? Are you going to feel your best? Are you going to do all those things you want to do? No, because you're exhausted. I'm sorry. I'm getting on my soapbox. Woo, bring it
Okay.
down.
It's nope. I get it. I get it. I get it. So, all right. So that's a good point. Again, leads us in. It doesn't escape me that we both have a section in our books titled, "I Can't Eat That." It's like we were made to meet and help women get over this and heal their relationship with food and with themselves. But is there anything you can't eat?
There's nothing I can't eat. There's things I don't want to eat and that I won't eat, but I spent, 40 years of my life telling myself and proclaiming it to the world, oh, I can't eat that. I can't. And you know the meaning behind that. I can't enjoy that because it's going to make me fat. So I don't use that language anymore. I mean, there are times where I just don't feel like it. I don't feel like a piece of cake. I mean, that's probably a lie. Okay, here's a perfect example, right? I love cake. And now that I know how to make homemade ones, it's even more glorious. But I can pass on like a pastry. I don't like that kind of, it just doesn't do anything for me. And so I can easily say no to something like that, not because I care about the calories or what it will do to my body. It's just, it doesn't bring me joy like a slice of cake would or like a giant chocolate chip cookie would. So in that sense, yes. But I just think that the meaning for most people behind I can't eat that, it's filled with shame. It's filled with, it's gonna, if I eat that, if I put that in my mouth, it's gonna do something horrible to my body.
I just believe all food groups and all foods have some sort of purpose. Now, highly processed, highly, I mean, like, so I think you know that my husband and I owned Wendy's for a long, long time. And there was a period in my life where I ate at least one meal a day there because I was working, right? And but you can, like, some days I'd have a burger and some days I'd have a chicken and some days I'd even have a fried chicken, right? It wasn't always grilled, but some days I wanted a salad. And so I just wish that people would appreciate the variety and never say anything, any one thing is like off the plate, unless it makes you feel crummy Or unless you hate the taste, don't eat it, right? Don't eat things that you don't like just
Of course
because
not.
they're supposed to be good for you. Now,
No.
kale, I can make you a kale salad that you would love, but
No.
that's for another time.
I disagree.
All right. Let's see. You mentioned that you no longer have forbidden foods, right?
Except for kale.
Right. But are there any things, like, as you've gotten older, I've noticed that my body doesn't react well to some foods.
Yes, agreed.
And so I was curious for you if you, because I journal, right? And I've journaled for a long time, and it's not elaborate, and I don't count macros and all that stuff. I just kind of write down what I had. And a lot of times I do it because I forget to eat sometimes. When I'm busy working.
Yeah.
So I know the value of nourishing myself, but I wondered if you journaled and or how you keep track of what your body doesn't respond well to.
Of course, I did journal in the beginning, but I don't now as far as food goes. But I've learned that there are certain foods that make me bloated and gassy and just kind of cause some stomach pain. And that is pretty much like anything in the pepper family. So I don't generally cook with those things. But I also have learned some remedies for if that does happen to me. Taking a peppermint tea with nothing else in it really soothes your tummy and is so good for digestion. Ginger is another thing that sometimes I'll take some ginger ale. But I've learned how to deal with those things instead of being one of those. And again, please forgive me if it's coming across judgmental. I don't mean to, but we unfortunately live in a society full of pills as your solution. So Tums or any of those antacid things, I didn't want to do that. I don't like taking things like that. I never have. It has nothing to do with the topic we're talking about. Just even as a kid, I friggin' hate medication.
Yep.
So when I learned that there was natural things that do that what they claim to do, I would always choose that option. So for me, peppermint tea really works if I get like an upset tummy. But yeah, anything in the pepper family is does not work well for me.
Gotcha. And for me, I've had a few things come up as well. It's just, and some of the things I love. Right. I just love, but I just know if I choose them, some dairy products, those will tear me up anymore now that I'm older. I used to eat them all the time, but yeah. So, anyway,
I love aging.
talk to us a little bit. And this, you mentioned the doctor's office a little bit in your book when you share that, you do have the right, if you're trying to change your relationship with yourself and with the scale, you do have the right to say, no, I don't want to step on your scale, especially since the doctor's office seems to be skewed about 22 pounds heavier than my own at home. And I've thrown scales away too, but it was always so frustrating to me when I was really focused on the scale, how different theirs was. But what would you say to the woman who's she knows her body, she knows herself, she's been doing all these things. How do you advocate for yourself at the doctor's office now? Beyond even just, no, I'm not going to step on the scale today. How do you advocate for yourself?
I think, we have just become accustomed to whatever the doctor says, you agree with because they're doctors. But I've also learned in doing this research that doctors don't have nutrition classes. They spend about a week in nutrition. They have no background. So when they're sitting there and they're unfortunately very guilty of saying, eat less, move more. That's how you get healthy. No. That doesn't mean anything to me. So when I moved here to Greenville and I went to go get my physical, that's literally the first thing she said. Again, we had just come out of a pandemic. My blood pressure was a little high, and they associated that with my weight gain. And I was pissed. I was like, listen, we have just spent 2.5 years indoors, and I am just now starting to come out into the world again with other people. Yeah, my blood pressure is going to be a little high. And granted, I don't have a history of that. So And the first thing she wanted to do was put me on medication. I said, I said, let me see if I can get this under control. I said, am I at a dangerous level, like where I need to? She's like, no, you're just like, borderline. And I said, then no, I don't want medication. I want to get back to my exercise. I want to get back to my healthy eating. I want to, I just moved here 3 months ago. I need to, figure my life out. And luckily she agreed with that. But then she's like, so just don't eat anything fried. Don't eat any. Oh, what did she said? Something. Just watch your diet. So, and I said, well, what do you mean by that? And then that's when she's like, well, don't eat fried foods. I said, I don't. She's like, when you make ground beef, drain your meat. And I was like, why? She's like, well, fat makes you fat. And I said, I don't have time to get into this with you today. I said, but that is just not true. And the other thing about getting on the scale is you can say no. And because I knew that that number would kind of rock me in the beginning of my journey. So I said, I don't want to get on the scale. And the nurse said, well, why? And I said, because I'm recovering with poor body image and I don't want to backslide. She totally let it go. She respected that.
I think that's great. Well, Rachel, those are my questions. I'd like you to kind of close out our session today just with the end of your book. You talk about what your goal is for life now, the rest of your life, right? You're a woman in the health and wellness industry. You still have clients. You feel good about yourself, you know? So for anybody who's reading this, what's the one thing you hope they take away from it?
Well, again, since writing my book, my thinking has evolved. So there's two things that I want every woman to believe and understand and know is that you are not alone. You are not alone. And the second thing is that you get to choose happy. You don't have to chase it. You don't have to find it. You don't have to discover it. You get to choose it. Now, getting there takes some work. Obviously, it took me some time as well. But you get to choose it. And that's what I choose every single day.
I love that. I love
Thank you.
that. Thanks for answering all my questions. I wish I could do this with every book I read, you know, just sit down and one-on-one with the author because, you know, great books make you think and you made me think. So, thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate this conversation.
Yeah.
It's nice to talk about our books, and I can't wait to interview you about yours.
Yep, coming up. Unfortunately, mine's a little bit more all over the place. I thought about that when I was reading it myself last week. I read my book once every couple of months just to keep myself on track and think, you are that girl. So, well, thanks again. And we will be coming back soon with a Reflections of Joy interview. We have another episode planned where we're going to talk about how we cook at home easily without a lot of stress and a lot of time and a lot of money. So those will be fun episodes to record as well. So I'll see
Can't
you soon.
wait.
Yep, see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.